Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ, with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we thank you and we praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. We receive revelation and wisdom from the Holy Spirit in our lives, in Christ Jesus. Amen. I know we came in a little late, but we had a good time. Amen. We had a very good time when we spoke right now. Well, can you send me the link? No. You weren't here, so I apologize, but I can't get it. Job chapter 1. Glory to God. Okay, one more time. I'm going to give a quick clarification. What I'm going to be speaking, I am not trying to criticize, speak wrongly, or just judge certain teachings that are in the body of Christ. My job is to bring better understanding. And as we go in the teaching, you'll see what I'm referring to. There are people who cannot develop or receive their healing because they say they're like Job. And we're not going to criticize Job either. We're not going to make fun of him. We're going to learn. Job. Look at our title for today. God didn't allow or cause what happened to Job. God did not permit it, and he didn't cause it. So I'll be explaining what that is, what that about allowing means. Last time we were together,
un día vinieron a presentarse delante de Jehová los hijos de Dios, entre los cuales vino también Satanás. Okay. La palabra hijos de Dios o la expresión hijos de Dios está refiriendo a los ángeles.
So the expression children of God is referring to angels, referring to as people as such.
Capítulo 38 de Job.
So go to Job 38. Remember if we saw it or not. We did, okay. Well, if we saw it, then I'm going to go directly. Verse 7. As the Lord was speaking, where were you when I created the earth? Let's set the foundations. Job 1.
¿O quién puso su piedra angular cuando alababan todas las estrellas del alba y se regocijaban todos los hijos de Dios? Está hablando de los ángeles ahí, amén.
Job 38. Those people are the children of God.
Versículo 7, Job 1:7. Y dijo Jehová.
Job 1:7.
¿De dónde vienes?
So Satan answered the Lord and said, from go to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. What is this? We're going to be going back between Job and other areas in the Bible. You will know all that. But going back and forth. So 1 Peter. Peter 5:8. Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So can you see that there? He's seeking whom he may devour or destroy. We're going to see what happened there. What did Job do? What caused this? It was not God that he told him to teach you a lesson or something. I don't know why we have that idea of God. None of us were to say, oh, well, I'm going to teach my kid a lesson by burning his hand on the stove or something. Have you ever done that? Well, when we were praising worshiping right now, I dropped my hand I dropped my hand, and with the palm of my hand, I hit one of the little girls, and it hurt me so much. And I said, oh, my love, forgive me. You just got in my way, and I truly apologize. I had my eyes closed, and I didn't see you. And that's when she was walking by. So why would you think, and it hurt me doing that, so why would you think God would teach you a lesson by doing evil? And there are people who have preached that, and that God and Satan work together. God teaches you, and sometimes it's Satan as well. And that's a very, in my opinion, a very twisted doctrine. That's the best way. That's the best word I can use. So, verse 8, Job 1:8. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? This verse in chapter 1 and another verse that we're going to be seeing, some of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible. You know how people interpret it? And perhaps it's what I'm going to say is hard. But if it's harsh, it's to give the whole point, to give understanding. And I want you all to understand it. It's as if you know that perhaps a man just got out of prison, being a pedophile, perhaps you know what that is. And then your kid is playing over there in the backyard. And you tell him, hey, no, have you? And then it's as if you say, oh, have you considered my child? Would you do that? So why interpret it as if God is offering Job to Satan? That's the language that is used. Don't lose your spot there, because I believe if we're going good with the help of the Lord, we'll finish up on chapter 1. Go to Matthew. More time. A lot of ignorance still. A lot of ignorance. We'll do our best to help whom wants to be helped. Clarifying points here. Matthew 7. Verse 7. 7 to verse 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Then, in verse 9, is asked, or what man is there among you who, if son asks for bread, you give him a stone? Well, the answer would be no one, if you're a good father. Or if he asks for a fish, you give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, of course, in comparison with God, God is perfect, and he knows what is best for our children, sometimes us, out of ignorance, perhaps we could give them wrong advice, not on purpose, of course, but that's what this being evil is referring to. We can do our best and then still be short in blessing our children, or giving them good advice, or giving them a good example, etc. If you then, being evil, comparison with God, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now in verse 9, 10, and 11, help me with the New Living Translation. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you then give him a stone instead? The answer would be no. Or if they ask for a fish, do you then give him a snake? Of course not. Around this time, what? About 4 or 5 snakes. Some rattlesnakes. Others not, but they're big snakes. And I know that neither my wife nor my children, nor my daughters like them. And I sometimes had to grab them by the tail like this. put them in a bucket or something container, in a container, and throw them out in the wild. So why do you think that God would do something evil? Verse where I'm at? Of course not. Now verse 11. If you then, being evil, so if you sinful people, God is not sinful. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? So I don't think sickness is a gift. Depression, lack, financial situations. But why do they happen? Someone will ask. Well, we'll see that. Why is there illnesses? Why is there financial issues? We'll see that. With the fear of God, we'll see why that is. Amen. Verse 8. Job 1. Have you considered my servant, an upright man who fears God and shuns evil? So I want you to see the new. No. It's the Young's literal translation in Spanish. This version is only in English. Young's was a Greek scholar. Passed away now. And Jehovah said to the adversary, Have you put your heart with my servant Job? For there is no one else like him on the earth. A man perfect and upright, fearing God and turning aside from evil. Have you set your heart against my servant Job? When he says, have you considered, it's not interpreting as, like, have you decided to go against my servant Job? More so it's saying, have you put your heart against him? You put your heart against him, correct? And the reason was, as we saw last time, Job lived in constant fear and worry. And Job said it further ahead in this chapter. Chapter 3, verse 25. For the things I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. New Living Translation? What I always feared has happened to me. What I dreaded has come true. Do not speak what you don't want to happen to you. New International Version. What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. So as we saw in our first session, Job lived even before the time of the law. But the laws of tithing and sowing and harvesting have been long before the time of God. And this has nothing to do with Old Testament or New Testament or law, grace. Has nothing to do with that. So Job 1:9. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? As to say, in vain? Satan himself has more revelation than many preachers. And I say this with respect, many preachers and brothers in Christ. Satan himself said, does Job, verse 10, have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and all that he has on every side? There's protection. Psalms 5:12. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as a shield. We are surrounded by the grace and the favor of God, by His presence. Satan had more revelation than many people, many brothers in Christ. And I don't say this to condemn or criticize anyone. I just want to clarify. He had more revelation. You have blessed the works of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. So Satan himself recognized it. So whoever is listening to me, radio here, and home or TV, recognize that it's the reason why you're still here is for the favor of God. It's by the favor of God. If you still live, if you still walk, you still have a roof over your head, it's because of the favor and the grace of God. Yes, Brother Hughes, but everything is so difficult now. Well, perhaps because you took wrong decisions. I don't know. But the good thing is, if you repent, the Lord will help you. That's what I'm referring to. And it's part of why evil things happen to us, but we'll see that right now. So, going back. You have blessed the works of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Verse 11. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. He said, and stretch out your hand and touch all that he has. So Satan was tempting God, as he's saying, well, God, do something. But God wasn't going to do anything. Because look at what happens now. Go to Acts. Acts 4. As he said, extend your hand, correct? Stretch out your hand. And the believers, the body of Christ, or the church in Jerusalem were praying here. They were having a lot of persecution by the government that was in place at the time. Verse 23. I'm going to read from 4:23 to verse 31. And being let go, they went to their own companies and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. You made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. They started praying here. All 25 and 26. 26, the kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ because they were being persecuted. Verse 27, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered here to do what your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants that all with boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done. So Satan said, stretch out your hand. So Satan told God, stretch out your hand so that everything that he has could be ruined. But God said, I can't do that even if I wanted to. Yeah, there's judgment by God, and we've seen that. But that's when God goes against the people that he does not have a covenant with, against the world. And trust me, God is not just going against the world every single second. If not, trust me, about a couple heads in our governments would have been cut off by now. God. I'm tempted to say something, but I'm not going to fall into temptation. Now, Job 1, actually the answer of the Lord here, that's another verse very wrongly applied as the same one that says, have you considered my servant Job? The answer of the Lord, same answer. The Lord was almost as if saying, no, well, I can't ruin him. I'm not going to be able to. But again, this verse does not mean that he's granting him permission. The Lord said to Satan, please notice how in 11, Satan said, touch everything that he has and surely he will curse you on your face. As you say, ruin him and see how much he'll start cursing you. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, the Lord answered Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Right there. That's another wrongfully applied verse. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. When he says, only do not lay a hand on him, as in do not kill him. Not, he won't let that happen. But what is that referring to as everything that he has is in your power? Okay. The Lord was not giving Satan permission as to say, well, yeah, it's true, Satan, I can't ruin him, but well, you know, he's right there. Go ahead, you ruin him. And I'll teach him a lesson while all these things are happening to him. With that, I'll use him to teach him a lesson. No, that's not what it's referring to. When the Lord said this declaration, and this is the important part to understand, what is the most misunderstood are the parts that most have to be understood. Behold, all that he has is in your power, as in his possessions, and he himself is in your power. What is he referring to? 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God, comma, right there. And the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. When? In this moment, the whole world, every disgrace that happens, all of the decisions that some governments are taking in the world, you can see that they are under the influence of Satan and under the authority. The only thing is God was declaring a truth. Job didn't even live under the Mosaic law. Job lived before the law. But the man at this point had fallen. It was under the authority of Satan. So God was saying, I mean, all in your hands. But you could ask, why didn't God stop? Why didn't God stop him from attacking him? He couldn't. Because Job, with his worry and his mouth was giving place to him. You understand? And that's what we do nowadays. When we're worried, or we're in the world, or for example, what business do I have? I mean, imagine me. What business does Nubia and I have in a concert of the world? With a can of beer. Oh, disgusting. And just to say, well, I'm under the grace. God loves me. I've been forgiven. And that's true. That's all that is true. But you know what's going to happen? The devil is going to take advantage of that. And first of all, there will be that case where somebody will take a picture of me. Oh, pastors. The pastors. And with a giant can of beer right there. And the voice is going to run off all over the place. And I'm going to ruin my testimony. And the Bible says, not just me, but Christ lives in me. And now I'm going to give place to the devil with perhaps illness or disgrace in my life, something financial. Yeah, we're going to have problems, as I've said, and attacks will come, but there's a difference. There's a difference when the devil attacks you because he wants to go against you or attacks your faith. And another difference is when he attacks you because you give place to him. But we'll see that. But on Matthew, good thing that I came. Matthew 7. 24, Matthew 7:24. So I abstained from doing all that. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Notice how in both, so much in the wise man, which is in verse 24, speaks of the wise man, verse 24. But then in verse 25, and rain descended, and floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house. The difference is, it did not fall. See the difference? In other words, it says, and it did not fall. Oh, well, that means is this. Did not fall is we're going to have problems. People of the world and Christians, illnesses will come, problems will come. But the difference is, when we don't give place to the devil, speaking about believers, we'll get out of that situation. You see the difference? Okay, I gave this example. I don't know what's happened with this pastor. Many years I haven't heard about him. But small church, but business people, construction or something. I don't know. It wasn't a big congregation. There was a good people there. Perhaps 50, 60, 70. I don't know. I was there. And this young man, I say young man because he was much younger than me, and this time way younger. He grew up in Europe. Spain, and then wife is from England. When we finished our teaching, close to there, that church was a restaurant. Very nice restaurant. Sell good meats and good salads. Type of European style foods. We went there. There was his parents-in-law were in town from England, and so he asked for red wine. And I was a bit surprised by that. And when the waiter was going to serve me some, I said, "Oh no, thank you. I'd rather just take some mineral water." And then he told me, "Oh, well, this is some of the best wine. It's expensive. It's very good." And well, here's the thing. That restaurant was very close to the church, about a block away. And I told him, "Look, you come at risk where someone from your church will walk in and they say, 'Oh, the pastor's drinking.'" He said, "Well, I'm not a drunk. I don't drink to get all drunk. It's just part of my culture." I said, "That's fine. I've never had issues with alcohol. And I understand your culture. I don't have an issue with that. The issue is, he's already spoken to me about, or his wife better said, how his family was going to be here for 2 weeks. He said, 'Look, how about perhaps in the middle of the week when you get out of work, they're at home because they have a very nice home, a nice backyard to cook, to have a cookout. Have a cookout there in your backyard and drink your wine in private. Don't be showing pictures of in Facebook and this and that. Showing off.'" I said, "Oh, well, we already..." I almost changed a seat. You see, because right there, and he was right next to me, right across. And so I had to put a giant cup and put a whole bunch of mineral water in there. I said, put put the cup over there. And he said, don't be exaggerated. I just said, just put it over there. If not, it's best if I leave. And yeah, he put it to the side. And then a couple minutes later, when about three families from the church came in. And the first thing, everyone, pastor, and I just seeing. And then me. And I had my cup with mineral water. Hello, pastor. Hello, brothers. How are you? That they could see the cup. Well, some time later, called me. He said, hey, remember that issue that we had about two families? Those two families are offended and they haven't been coming. Because one of the men struggled with alcohol. And then when he got out, when he saw us, he started drinking again. He said, well, pastor drinks. But you see the difference. The pastor doesn't drink to get drunk. Grew up that way, just drinking wine as culturally. But the other drink out of addiction. And so people fall when they see that. Not good. You see here, we're going to have problems and attacks will come. Many tests will come while we're here. But let it be the devil that comes against you, not just on purpose that we're giving place to him.
Amen. All right.
Job 1, where we were. Again. As we saw in John as well. So the whole world is under the wicked one. Another verse that I'm remembering right now, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Why did he blind them? Because he has authority. But Ephesians 2, verse 1. Ephesians 2, 1. I'm going to go here with the Bible. As we see here, it's a bit clearer. 2, 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2. In which you once walked according to the course of this world. Notice. In which you walked, past tense, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all have conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were, someone say amen, that we were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So what's the issue here? Job lived in a time where the Mosaic Law did not exist. But Satan already had authority. Man had already fallen. Another part here that we can see, the Holy Spirit is reminding me, is in Romans 5. Romans 5. Good, glad I came. I'll tell you something. I'm very determined to start preaching more on the truths, especially in our midweek services. This one is very important as well. But midweek services are... I'm going to be clarifying a lot of points. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. And thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. So what is that man? Adam. It was Adam. Therefore, just as through one man, through Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. But before the law, there was still sin. But before the law, sin was not punished. So let me explain something. But pastor, it says there that Job lived before the law, so his sin was not punished. Yeah, of course, God did not punish his sin, but the law was already in works. You understand? God did not blame him. It's what God did with the law. Now God started showing the sin of man through the law. But God did not place him in judgment or blame him. But the law was already in place. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. And so Job lived between that time, between Adam and Moses. He was under the dominion of Satan, just as the world is under the dominion of Satan. And you and I are under the dominion of Satan when we give him place in our lives. That's why the Bible says, Ephesians 4:27, do not give place to the devil. Do not give place to the devil. It's true that problems will come, and this and that, and circumstances. Negative circumstances. But do not give place to him. And if perhaps you made a mistake, I gave place to him. Will repent and truly make the necessary changes. If not, the devil will destroy you. Remember, the devil's thing is to kill, is to rob, kill, and destroy. Remember, my brothers and sisters, in this life, in this world, it'll all pass. I see many Christians who think that they're going to last their whole lives here. They think that they're going to live forever and that this life is just based on being prosperous and having this amount of money and this car and this house. And I believe in biblical financial prosperity. But there are people who think that that's all in their head. That's all there is in their head, that they're going to live forever. They're going to be eternal on this planet Earth. That's all they want. They just want to have possessions. And God is not against you having cars, houses, and belongings, but it's so that you can enjoy them while we're here, but do not put your sight on them. God wants you to have stuff so you can enjoy them. But it'll all pass. And while that happens, God wants us to have things. That's fine. But remember, majority of things that God wants you to have, it's to finance the kingdom. I remember Fred Price once told me, how much is enough? Right there in our congregation. How much is enough for some of you? And he started saying, you arrived, you reached this point, didn't have anything. You heard about faith, prosperity. Glory to God. God started blessing you. Businesses, ours, homes. But many of you don't even give as you used to before. You don't even tithe. You don't even believe in anything. That's how he said, and I was surprised. Because there was a couple thousand people there on a Sunday in the church that he pastors founded right there in the Faith Dome. Because all they want is just more and more and more. And he asked, how much is enough? Up to which point can you say, glory to God, I have more than enough here. I won't live my whole life here. I will continue financing the kingdom and be a blessing to people, the people in need. People, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Are you understanding now in Job 1:12? Luke 4, we'll be seeing an example of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is so good. Luke 4, there are some brothers in Christ that perhaps you know. Share this teaching with them. Share with them and they will bless them. For me, it's not just to be criticizing and this and that. At least perhaps if they could see another perspective, saying, hey, at least look at this perspective. Hear it and let the Holy Spirit guide you. Let him help you. If not, well, don't just forget about it. But at least hear it. Amen. You can share it with some of them. That they can meditate on it. Luke 4. Where am I? I'm in Job 1. 12, right? What is it? Where the Jesus Lord was tempted. Yes, 4:16. Had I said 16? No. 4:16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to recover sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." It's so good. But it's not the verse that I'm looking for. It is in a 4, but let's see. It's in 4, but it's verse 1. And the temptation of the Lord. Verse 4. This is so good. That's for another subject. 4:1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and after when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every work of the Lord." And the devil, taking him up on the high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give to you, and the glory, for this had been delivered to me, and I gave it to whomever I have," because again he had the dominion, as the Lord, as God said, "Everything is in your power, is in your hand." God had given them to Job, but they were in this natural world, therefore they were under the dominion of Satan. And now even all these kingdoms and governments, the devil said, "All this authority I will give to you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I gave it to him wherever I wish." Who delivered it to him? Adam. That's why there are so many Christians who have issues in many areas of their lives. I know many people who are faithful, giving, generous, be it they believe in tithing or offering, or you know, sometimes some economic issues can happen. And there are people who try not to give place to the devil, and sometimes things can happen. But it's that. You'll get out of it. People will get out of it. We won't always just be stuck there. But remember that it never happens because you gave place to the devil, because you know. I want to make this clarification so that there can be understanding. Do not seek to justify yourself when you say, "Oh, it's an attack from the devil." Like, you'll truly know, because it's best to be terribly honest and say, "Yeah, I messed up here." Because when you repent, you change your way of thinking, your way of acting. And you give an opportunity to the grace of God to manifest in your lives. But there are times where be doing the best that you can, and sometimes things will happen, but you maintain yourself. The issue is, out here, things were under the authority, are under the authority, hasn't changed the authority of Satan. You understand that? Which is why we have so many people influenced, so many adolescents addicted in pornography. Remember how last time I was talking on how I know that there are parents who say, "Oh, I don't have the finances to have my child in a homeschool or in a private school." But it's not just the materials. The issue is the atmosphere. Look, last time I was driving through here in my pickup truck, and I have a big flag that says Trump 2024. I'm supposed to be living in a free country, right? And I was going on A Avenue. And that moment, two young girls, about perhaps high school age or middle school and a young kid. And they saw the flag. And they threw their fingers at me. The three of them. Now, suppose I was one of those crazy people that are armed. Just turn back around and I shoot them. Right? That's wrong. But where's the education that their parents give them? Where's the education that the school receives? The issue is, you can be doing the best that you can to educate your children correctly, but in school, they're putting them to waste, everything that you teach them at home, because it's the atmosphere. And every atmosphere is designed so you can adapt it to it, if for good or for bad. Not because you send them to school so that they can learn English. And many parents do that. I'll say, you can learn English. So my kid can speak English. But since I don't speak English, they speak English and they're going to hell. You're going to have to pray and truly find solutions with the grace of God. Share this more when we're off air, because then social media has blocked this. They don't let more people see what I spoke and more parents, etc. I think we found a solution. I don't know if you saw the beginning, what you saw there in the video. I think that's a solution. We'll see. Surprising. They want to silence everything. And many issues, we are not grateful with what we have. But I don't know if you knew this. Erica, please read the last report that I sent you, just the data on Christians from Africa. I think it's 16,000 Christians that have died or been killed, I think, in Nigeria from 2016 to 2019, or 2019 onward, the last report. 16,000 Christians of what? From which years? 2018, 2019, till now? From 2019, 2024, according to the statistics. You know why we don't value it? Because that doesn't happen here. There's a lot of persecution in the world. In some places they kill them, in other places, like here, they want to silence us. And the privilege that we have of coming to congregate, don't take it as if it's going to last forever. Their times could come back where they want to come against us, they close up the churches. And what are you going to say? Man, go after COVID. When they opened up the church, I should have gone more. When it's gone now. Why we should take advantage of things now. Being firm. There are a lot of doctrines, false doctrines. I preach liberty, not libertarian. Liberty and freedom in Christ. Not debauchery. Licentiousness. That's the word for liberty or freedom. I don't preach licentiousness. I preach freedom. I'm not going to preach being bound. But I'm also not going to preach just, oh, do whatever you want. Not true. I'm sending you to hell with that. I'm wrapping up now. Jehovah's in your hands. Or you're in Jehovah's hands. But referring now to this, how Job was in Satan's hands. And so Satan went before, and Satan killed all his children, etc., etc. Hallelujah. Go with me now. Malachi. Malachi 3. A lot of supposedly gracious people out there. But if you're going to use grace as an excuse to not give, Well, apologies. If you're going to say that, tithing is in the law because it was spoken about here in Malachi. I'm telling you in love and in truth. I'm not using sarcasm. If we're going to use the grace of God to say, well, I don't have to give because I'm under the grace and not under the law, I don't have to tithe. That means all that's left now that you give more than tithing. I mean, if we're going to use grace, I can tell you, I'm one of those who uses grace to say, I don't tithe. I believe in tithing, but I go more beyond tithing because tithing is 10%. And the love of God and His mercy has been greater than any other thing in my life. My God, the fact that I'm still here pastoring is more than enough for me.
So, grace of God.
Who is translating? Okay. Si voy a usar la gracia de Dios, entonces voy a ir más allá. Y eso, como te dije, el mundo siempre quiere, siempre.
Point.
Porque hay gente, porque ahorita se ha vuelto, es como una obsesión de
personas
criticando a otras, que porque tienen avión, que porque tienen esto, que porque tienen, es una obsesión en el internet. Que porque algunos esto, y bueno, si algunos hicieron cosas malas, o yo no soy asunto mío, pero no todos, a esos cuantos. Te voy a poner un ejemplo. ¿Cuántos de ustedes conocen gente que sean albañiles?
Construction.
Con malos albañiles que trabajan en la construcción, sí.
Encountered a bad construction worker.
Doctores.
Or a doctor. There are bad doctors, lawyers, or bad construction workers, but we can't generalize that everyone is bad. That's a false accusation. I hear people say all are corrupt. Really? All corrupt? Proof that all.
We
don't have proof.
Todos se quedan con el dinero de la iglesia. Todos, de verdad, todos. Todos.
O sea, money.
Yo hice estas preguntas para que cuando usted trate con esa gente, les se las diga igual. O sea, de verdad, todos.
Asking these.
Todos. Todos se quedan.
Really think about it. All of them? All pastors keep church money? Is it a truth or is it not truth?
No, es así. No
todos. Well, no, not all of them.
¿Conoce usted algunos malos químicos, hermana? Sí, ¿verdad?
There are some bad lab techs. Are all lab techs bad?
Es una falsedad y es generalizar.
And it's a generalization to say all.
Es una mentira. Entonces, ¿cómo se llama el que dice mentiras constantemente?
So, who calls someone that constantly lies? A liar. A lot of people.
Sí hay. Y luego voy a hablar de esto en los estudios en tres semanas. Sí hay. Pero no todos. No sé, tal vez sea la minoría, pero a veces la
minoría. Might be the minority. There is a minority that
A mí ha habido gente cuando he salido a predicar afuera que me dan ofrenda en efectivo. Lo creas o no,
out of town. And there are people who give me offerings. And I bring that cash here. I don't take a seat. That's stealing from the Lord. And violating the. And he is holy. He continues. We'll go to Walmart and they say, oh, it's expensive, and everybody complains. But the electricity, that here in we can have our insurance, the vehicle, that money comes from. Increase, but not everybody gives. We don't obligate anyone to give. Some people say, oh, you go to that church and the pastor makes you give. When? I always invite someone to. But you have the.
Bueno, yo hago una invitación. Hago una invitación a la gente a dar cuando algunos de ellos frecuentemente están extrayendo información.
When some of them extract something, they're being fed spiritual.
Entonces sería bueno para ellos.
So it would be good for them. It would be good. So I'm saying it would be good. And for them to consider it, helping us reaching more people. That's why giving should be motivated by love, so that more people, it would be for them to say, oh, well, I want more people to know this. Amen. Be on your feet.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. ¿Se entendió eso?
That understandable? Father, we give you thanks for your word.
Señor, te alabo, te glorifico, te exalto a ti, te bendigo. Te doy la gloria.
Give glory.
Yeah, Lord. Gracias. Que tú eres nuestro ayudador.
Helper.
Santo Padre, gracias que tú nos ayudas a ver lo que no vemos.
Father, thank you for helping see what we cannot see, or sometimes what we saw and didn't understand years ago. Now you let us see it more. Only in this church, not only in this church, but in our families, in what we do in our businesses, in our. You are our help. For your word says that we are temple of the Holy Spirit.
So
every day you show us and teach us that you are with us. Give you thanks. I give you thanks, Father. Thank you for you speaking to us. You are revealing to us how to help more in all areas, spiritually, financially, bodily, who to help, how to help.
Receive
from you. It's a new journey. The next decade, decades, I don't know, next 10, 20, 30 years, begin again. Thanks. Because new beginnings are good. When we begin correctly, when we begin searching for you, listening more, praying more, doing what we should be doing, what it is of a classic believer. I'm going to use a word that's common. What it really is to be a Christian and a believer. The world is busy in dances and parties and pornography and drugs. They're too busy feeling their hangovers. They're sick because drugs and alcohol have been abused. The world doesn't sleep. But we are children of God. And we are busy. It shouldn't be weird for us to pray, read our Bible, come to church and study the Word. It shouldn't be weird to praise God and pray and for our spirit to be worked on. It shouldn't be strained. We speak like this because it is what we are. Like in the natural. If we were in Germany, we start talking about tacos, about menudo, about chili, about beans, about tortillas, about barbecues. Maybe they wouldn't understand it. Sure, Ukraine. But if there's a group of Mexicans, especially from Sonora, they're going to know exactly what we're talking about. Language of a Sonoran. It should be like this when we speak about church, about praying and giving. We understand it. We practice it. Thank you for the privilege. It should be like that. Not be ashamed of it because of the world criticizes or carnal Christians. Many of them are perverse people, speaking about the world. They're influenced by the devil. And maybe some really don't understand it or really don't have any in their hoard on cash. They come to the Lord, they'll be taught with a good word. Now they give. Thanks, Lord. Worship you. Bless you. Thank you for the opportunity to continue giving, to continue speaking the word. Balanced teaching where people can trust, not in excess, not one way or the other way, not religion or to be tied up or a false prophet, a false grace, because neither are good. There are balance, and that's the devil. Both of them are religion. Both are chains. They send us to a destruction of something biblical, balanced. To understand faith. To understand what it really is to be prosperous. To understand why the speaking of tongues. What it is about tongues. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your. There are many people outside, or maybe here, have financial issues, problems in their health, personal problems. But I give thanks that you are the one that backs those, who are the healer, and in that same. Because you said to speak what is written, I believed, I spoke. agreement in the word. Your word says that Jesus Christ prayed for the sick, they were healed. We are in Christ. And through that authority, I speak healing in their bodies. To those who are sick, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we have been healed. I speak in the name of Jesus Christ. Those who have financial problems, God provides everything that you need according to His riches and glory in Jesus Christ. That their businesses prosper. That in their works they have raises. In the middle of economic situations, the favor of God is in them. The favor of God is with them. Thank you, Lord, because it is you who is opening those doors of opportunities. Family problems, we take authority of them. And we cast out all dissension, and we call peace, and we speak peace, and we speak the favor of God, the manifestation of the favor of God. Thank you, Lord, because you are the helper, those families. Thank you for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit that you speak to their conscience and their spirits, and they hear that internal voice. Maybe there is something they need to change, close doors. But you know, and they know it. And I give thanks because you best. I speak that peace. I speak that spirit of being children of God, to having that boldness. And in that street or in that block or in that neighborhood, if we are the only believers, then let it be it. But we should. We don't need to show anybody else to others, but we need to show it to the world. Lord, like the potter in Jeremiah, the traditional church, some brothers in Jesus Christ, they have misused that example. God is breaking us. But it's such a beautiful that we have let ourselves be. Some people say God breaks us or molds us, He's going to take something from us. But Jeremiah said the word is like something that's broken. It's not speaking about sickness. It's about breaking and molding our way of speaking, our way of being, helping us understand the word and renovating our minds. And when you understand these things, you can pray freely and say, thank you, Lord. I need to be molded by you. You understand that? It's the word. I say that, Lord, try my heart. Test my heart with the sickness. Don't even think about that. That's how God molds us. He their way of thinking makes the word be true and living in our lives. That's what it's referring to. How many of you have seen the movie Forrest Gump? After he spoke or said about anything, he would say, that's what I have to say about that. That's all I have to say for today. Thank you.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website mpfccc.org.